That was a great throw by Garrett Green across the middle to Hudson Clement, the Martinsburg High School graduate. So Garrett Green got him a pass there. Great throw and great offensive run.
Stay back on track, though.
Yes.
Because we're going to get to college football in a minute. We're going to talk about the Duke's Mayo Bowl and talk a lot about Mayo. I love Mayo.
I'm so sick of talking about Mayo. Like, everyone's acting like Mayo's never existed prior to this bowl game. Everyone's like, you hear about this Mayo?
Okay.
It's good stuff.
But
I'm sorry, what? You hear about this good Mayo?
It's like playing blackjack. You can get an Uno card.
Exactly. You get the reverse.
And West Virginia's just going to let it tick. West Virginia gets a win, 2-0. Over the South Carolina Gamecocks, and they head to the Sun Belt Conference Championship game.
Welcome back to episode 40 of the PRT Boys podcast. I'm Cornoby alongside.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Nico.
The big 40th episode of 4-0. The PRT Boys podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about some WVU sports and then Masters talk as well, because it is the best week of the spring, Andy.
That is true. It's a very pretty time of the year down there in Augusta, Georgia, you know, where they bring out the green jacket, the old green jacket.
That's right. So West Virginia basketball had a couple entries into the portal. JoJo Harris as of recent and Pat Sumnick literally about 5 minutes ago. So that is quite unfortunate. For West Virginia, 7 scholarship spots open. There's not much we can really talk about because he has yet to name a coaching staff, and I'm not going to get into that because I'm going to get very frustrated because I feel like you're not able to recruit if you don't have a coaching staff. So, you know,
And plus, if you do try to talk about it, there's a lot of speculation when it comes there. And, you know, we're journalists. We only report the facts as we understand them, and we don't speculate often.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of the JoJo Harris and Pat Sumnick entering the transfer portal, I would say those are two impact players that I think this team's going to miss.
No.
Hey, Sumnick, when he got
JoJo
minutes,
Harris, 3 points a game. No.
I think JoJo Harris had a lot of potential.
No, okay. Potential.
He was
but
young.
He didn't play here.
Yeah. But with Pat Sumnick, when he got minutes, I think he was a big player.
That one, yes.
Especially during the Kansas game. He played, in my opinion, an outstanding game. He was ruthless in the paint, got as many rebounds as he could, and really gave the Mountaineer team that he was playing alongside the best chance to win that game, which they did. So having him leave in the transfer portal, I think, is big time. You know, cause he was a very good player for this Mountaineer team when he got the minutes. And, you know, next year, obviously, this roster is going to be very different. It seems like they're going to do a whole overhaul. So who knows what's going to happen, but I think Sumnick will really be missed in Morgantown.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there's just not much that we can, you know, talk about there. So when it comes to that, obviously, hopefully next week we can come and talk about it and, you know, be able to talk more. But it's just going to be the same thing that we talked about last week. The only real new news is
DeVries coming.
Exactly.
That's all we know, really.
But in the college basketball world, the coaching carousel has been shifted around when it comes to the national side of things. And a lot of them have significantly been pretty huge. So this is an article from ESPN that literally came out 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago. So it literally starts with West Virginia. It says, the men's college basketball coaching carousel is a busy one. It began spinning last May when Bob Huggins stepped down at West Virginia and slowly picked up speed towards the end of the regular season. But now it's going a full tilt. Vacancies at Washington, Michigan, Vanderbilt, Stanford, and the aforementioned Mountaineers and Louisville have all been filled. The mid-major programs they hired coaches away now embark on their searches. We'll start very, very first, right off the bat. Arkansas. Eric Musselman left to go to USC, took the job there after USC's coach, after Enfield left and took the job at SMU. Well, they then come in and they hire a guy by the name of John Calipari, who a lot of people never thought would ever leave Kentucky, but he is now officially, as of this morning, leaving Lexington, Kentucky and heading down to Fayetteville, Arkansas, where I heard the self-checkouts are really, really nice down there at Walmart. You know why?
Well, Walmart was invented in, or Walmart was founded in Arkansas.
Well, their boosters are the Walmart owners. So, as well as Tyson Chicken. So, I heard you can get a good deal on Tyson Chicken down there in Fayetteville. I'm trying to look at, you know, the major Charles or Coastal Carolina, Cliff Ellis, who was the longest acting head coach. He then retired halfway through the year. Louisville fired Kenny Payne and hired Pat Kelsey, College of Charleston head coach, is taking over the helm there. Marshall, we were on here a couple weeks ago. Dan D'Antoni was fired. And Cornelius Jackson, an assistant coach there, Marshall, has taken that spot. Michigan moved on from Juwan Howard, and Dusty May was hired there, former FAU head coach. And, you know, it's pretty big, you know, when you get a guy to leave sunny Florida to go to freezing cold Ann Arbor, Michigan. Ohio State, Chris Holtman was fired halfway through the year. I call that the West Virginia effect. Nearly got beat by West Virginia, and a couple weeks later was shipped out of there. So he was fired. He then got hired, I believe, at DePaul. He did. So he was hired at DePaul. Chris Holtman.
Where is that
at? Chicago?
DePaul University? Is that what the school is called?
Yeah, Chicago.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I've never heard of that. So that's
great,
that's
geography, Quinn. Great
good
geography.
Good basketball school there. Rob Lanier was fired at SMU for some reason. I believe he was fired. And Andy Enfield from USC was hired there. Eric Musselman then replaced him at USC. West Virginia, obviously, Darren DeFries is here. Western Kentucky's coach Steve Lutz went to Oklahoma State. There's just a lot of guys. And then Youngstown State, former West Virginia Mountaineer Jared Calhoun, who used to be the head coach at Youngstown State, took the job at Utah State. I believe he's a former West Virginia Mountaineer. If I'm going to fact check myself, but I'm pretty sure.
It's got that West Virginia connection.
There's always a West Virginia connection.
And that's actually insane. The fact that
I know there is a connection somehow to,
if there is, I feel like I have full confidence that Mr. Quinn Roby is going to know it, 100%.
Wow, this does not give me okay.
Wow, that is a lot of text.
Where was it? It said WVU somewhere in here, probably towards the end, I guess.
I mean, when would he have been
here?
It
was earlier. I think he was on the staff here. I don't think he played here. I think he was on the staff.
Was it under Bob Huggins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right here. Mountaineers here. Coach Calhoun was an assistant coach at Walsall, most recently West Virginia under Bob Huggins. He spent 4 years at WVU as the director of basketball operations before serving as an assistant coach in 2011 to 2012. The Mountaineers then went 19-14 during Calhoun's last season there and advanced to the NCAA tournament. During his 5 years in Morgantown, the Mountaineers posted an overall record of 120-36 with 5 NCAA tournament appearances, including the 2010 Final Four and the 2008 Sweet 16 appearance. So there you go.
Not bad. Not bad for Mr. Calhoun. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, so I knew that. So Jared Calhoun is a what used to be here. And then Mark Byington, James Madison, a lot of guys listed him to come here to West Virginia's Jerry Stackhouse's replacement at Vanderbilt. A lot of coaching changes. I mean, you all can see this list right here. I mean, you can see it on the screen over here. This is a lot of coaching changes.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, the coaching carousel is alive and well. Now, who does Kentucky get to replace John Calipari? Scott Drew's name's been thrown in the hat a lot. Oh, wow, look at this beautiful picure here. That is hilarious.
Oh, that's ironic.
Who's the former coach of the Thunder? I've heard he's
Billy
mix.
Donovan.
Billy Donovan is.
So he has already pretty much said absolutely not. Because, I mean, you're in the NBA and your team's in the playoffs. It'd be different if, like, the Bulls were, you know, terrible right now. But they're in the playoffs. I mean, they're getting ready to be in the play-in tournament. So, you know, there's no need for him to leave, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no need for him to leave and, you know, because, I mean, you're at the place that he wants. And actually, I do believe there's another, but no, like, with Billy Donovan, he started at Kentucky under Rick Pitino. But then, you know, it's like he's not going to want to leave the NBA.
No.
What I was looking, is Billy Donovan, a lot of people don't know this, is he accepted his first head coaching position at Marshall University and was a head coach at Marshall in 1994 and led the herd to a 35-20 record over two seasons. He was hired at Florida.
There's a West Virginia connection.
There's always a West Virginia connection. I'm telling you, there really is. There's always a West Virginia connection with people. You know the country singer Bailey Zimmerman?
Yeah.
You know he worked on the pipeline in West Virginia for 3 years? Told you, always West Virginia connection.
This is rather interesting. I just found this article on ESPN. It was posted about this earlier this morning. Calipari signed a 5-year contract starting at $7 million per season at Arkansas, but that's $1.5 million less than what he was making at UK.
Yeah, because UK was giving him a little too much money. He doesn't care about the money in this point in life. What he cares about is he's a guy that likes to be wanted, and he's always been that way. When he was at UMass, he always wanted to be the guy that they want. And at Kentucky, I mean, I have friends that go to Kentucky, and a lot of them have told me he's not liked in Lexington anymore, and that, I think, was an issue for him. And so he was, you know, when Arkansas was like, I mean, he's good friends with John Tyson, who's the owner of Tyson Chicken. And when John came to him and was like, hey, we have a coaching opening, like, you know, what do you say? And apparently the rumor was that someone came back and said it's not true, but I wouldn't surprise me if it is, said that John Calipari came back to Mitch Barnhart, who is the AD at Kentucky, and said, hey, Arkansas's offering me this, this, and this. Can you counter it? And they said no. And so that was kind of his thing. I mean, his buyout was north of $33 million at Kentucky. And so it was huge for Calipari because in his contract it said he had to resign before he could, you know, leave anywhere else. And so he officially resigned, and then this morning they officially announced it. But he left because he wasn't wanted in Kentucky. A lot of the boosters weren't giving money. He didn't have NIL, you know, funding that he wanted to recruit the top players there. And when you're at Arkansas, you're shifting in the same conference, in the SEC, one of the toughest conferences in the country, and you're shifting there. Now you're going to have a guy, you know, like John Calipari there, who's going to have all the NIL money he wants. He's going to have... He doesn't really care about the money that he's getting, but he's still getting paid. He's going to have the same probably going to have the same coaching staff. I heard his son's going to come and coach with him. There's all these things that are working out in his favor, and it's the best place that he's got a chance to succeed because, I mean, he's not, you know, the oldest guy coaching, but he's getting up there in age, you know, year after year. And so getting Kentucky, he's been in Kentucky for a while.
Right.
I mean, I texted my dad a couple days ago and was like, it's hard to imagine a Kentucky without John Calipari, but that's how it is. I mean, he's been there forever.
Yeah, no, I mean, you honestly answered my next question. I was like, if you're going to be paid less, then I honestly, my thought process is, why would you leave? But then you bring up the fact that he just wasn't liked in Lexington, and I'm like, that's honestly an extremely understandable way to move. You know, I've never really seen a coach move from a team to team within the same conference. It's usually, you know, you want to go out of conference to get, you know, either more money or, you know, better exposure or better players and or less competition or something like that. But, you know, this is something that I've never really seen before. And honestly, you did answer the question. And, you know, Calipari is 65, which is, I'm not sure if, is that older or he's up there with Bob, I think, right?
No, Bob's like 70, dude.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, yeah. No, I thought, is he like late 70s? Probably, is he late 70s?
Probably closer to 80, yeah.
Really? Okay, no, I thought that, I mean, I knew he was up there in age, but yeah, no. Calipari said, or it's saying here that he's at 65. I'm like, that's somewhat close to 70. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, no. But no, I mean, I think that this issue, it's not an issue, but this little, you know, story
squabble
here, yeah. I'm trying to just find a straight story. Everything's ESPN Plus now, and I don't want to log into my ESPN Plus on the computer here. But, like, and so if you're Kentucky, you got to look at either Scott Drew or Baylor. His buyout is apparently not that expensive. I mean, what's stopping you from offering Dan Hurley a bag? I mean, Nico, we haven't really heard from you. What's stopping you from, let me ask you this, what's stopping Kentucky from offering Dan Hurley a bag?
You paid what, John Calipari, like $8 million a year?
And why don't you?
8.5.
And now that you don't have the buyout, that was going to be close to $33 million. Why don't you up that? Do, like, I've heard somewhere around $11 million 5-year contract. Why don't you throw that at Hurley?
Yeah, give him the bag, man. I mean,
Now,
you want a good coach, you want to win titles, you got to give a good coach a good amount of money to win some titles.
Do I think Early's going to leave UConn?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not.
You got to make him say no. And I said this about, you know, West Virginia's coaching search with different coaches. Got to make him say no, man. And you do. You got to make him say no. And, you know, I mean, you have to throw money at him. And he's going to say no because he's not going to want to leave UConn. UConn's
just won back-to-back national championships.
They're a powerhouse when it comes to college basketball. And so is Kentucky. But, I mean, he's successful at UConn. Imagine the success he could have in Lexington. But Hurley, he's not leaving UConn. I'd be shocked if he takes this Kentucky job.
There would have to be some, like, Godfather-level stuff to go on to get him to move. Like, you know, like, offer you can't refuse type stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Give him a stake in the school. Give him, like, 5% of the school. That'll make him come there.
With UK's money, I think they could do a little bit more than 5%. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's a good deal.
It's a phenomenal deal.
I'm taking it.
It's a phenomenal deal. But if I was at UConn right now, if I was Dan Hurley, I was just like, come on now. He just led the Huskies to back to back national championships. I'm not leaving.
So
some there is clicking.
Back to some West Virginia talk for a minute.
Oh,
Drake,
yeah.
Drake transfer guard Atten Wright will begin his visit to West Virginia on Friday. So there's. You're starting to get some recruits now. Can't be all Drake players.
It can't.
You know, you got to do some more. But he averaged 14.1 points a game, 2.3 rebounds, and 1.9 assists per game this season, while also shooting 40% from three-point range. So that would be a big factor for West Virginia. But I just had to say that because I just saw that come across my screen. So if you're now, I mean, if you're Kentucky, I think Scott Drew is going to be number one because his buyout at Baylor is not very big. I think if he says, I think you go for Hurley first. Hurley says no, then you go for Scott Drew. If Scott Drew says no, then you try Billy Donovan. If he says no, Bruce Pearl at Auburn maybe, but he doesn't have a lot of time left either in his coaching career, so it's. I don't know. There's no options.
It's just a question of how much they're willing to spend.
I think that they're willing to spend anything because they just wanted Calipari out of there. I that's the kind of the vibe that I'm feeling is, and I mean, that's how he was treated at the end of when they lost to Oakland was, you know, everyone wanted him fired because he hasn't really done well since COVID. I mean, he's won a national championship, had a couple Final Four appearances, but other than that, I mean, ever since COVID, he just, you know, they haven't really been that good. I think a couple years ago, they had a really, really bad year, and there was a year where they were in the NIT, and lost, I think, in the first round of Robert Morris in the NIT, if I remember correctly. But, you know, I think you got to make Hurley say no. I think Scott Drew, you got to offer him a contract because Scott Drew listened to Louisville, and I think he even interviewed for the Louisville job, and then they ultimately went with Pat Kelsey because I think Baylor came with another contract. He's yet to sign that contract.
Really?
From what I've heard, he has not come to with that contract yet.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting. If he signs it, who knows? Now, what was funny, there was apparently a flight outside of Waco today that was en route to Lexington, Kentucky. Okay? People were freaking out. It was like the most watched private plane, you know, on the website or whatever. Scott Drew then, when the plane is supposed to land, Scott Drew tweets a picture of him at a restaurant with a Baylor donor saying that they had lunch and he's excited for the future in Waco.
Really?
Now, I don't know that, you know, it could just be someone flying from Waco, Texas to Lexington, Kentucky, you know, on a business trip.
Right.
And I think it could just be a coincidence. But Scott Drew tweeting that kind of tells me he's not going to leave. But if you're Kentucky, again, you got to make these guys say no.
Right.
You've got to make these guys say no. And so there's a lot of different stuff happening in this world, obviously. So you have a lot of jobs that are going to continue to come open. There's still the Indiana State job, I believe, is still open because Josh Schertz went to, yeah, that is still open. Fresno State is still open. Florida A&M is still open. Eastern Washington's still open. There's still some mid-major jobs that are open. Rice is not open. That was just like nestled back in there for some reason. So those are the jobs that are still open. And so, you know, you got to think, some of these mid-major guys that are at schools right now are going to come up. I mean, Kentucky's not going to hire a mid-major guy. They're going to go and hire, You know, they're going to go.
They're going to get an at least decent guy.
I mean, they're going to go hire. They're going to try to hire Scott Drew. And I don't know what's stopping you from hiring Scott Drew. I think that'd be a great pick for them. And then if that happens, then you got to look at Baylor. I think Jerome Tang from Kansas State goes, because he was originally at Texas, I believe. Or no, he was actually at Baylor. Jerome Tang, I think, was at Baylor under Scott Drew. I think Jerome Tang then takes over at Baylor. But that, we can't talk about that until, you know,
we know
that's
more.
Official. But
yeah.
I think you got to look at Scott Drew if you're Kentucky. Now, this is going to answer your question. Billy Donovan on the Kentucky job opening says Chicago Bulls coach Billy Donovan says he has not had any contact with the University of Kentucky about its men basketball coaching vacancy and reiterated his commitment to the Bulls prior to the team's game Tuesday night's loss to the New York Knicks. He says, and I quote, "I have not been contacted by anybody. I haven't spoken to anybody. My total commitment and focus is here to this team and to this group." Did he turn it down? No, just simply said,
no, nobody's talking to him.
You know, just simply said, hey, I haven't been contacted. So that'll be interesting in itself. But he did say, I'm happy here at this level. I know I enjoy coaching, and I know I enjoy coaching in the NBA.
Fair.
But you could do a lot of things now, you know, to persuade guys. So this is an interesting thing to watch, you know, and see kind of, you know, who is doing what, you know. It's going to be interesting, man, to see, you know, what people do. And I think that this is definitely the, at least in my, you know, what I can remember, I think this is the craziest coaching carousel I think I've ever experienced.
No, this is just going to be the new era of college athletics.
Agreed.
And, you know, I feel like you're going to get this almost, I'm not going to say almost every year, you're not going to get this level of coaching carousels, but you're going to get this more frequently in the coming future, because that's just how jobs are, and NIL stuff is just going to work. You know, people are going to want better positions. They want to have better success at better places, and that's just, you know, the new era of college sports. You know, gone are the days of the guy is staying there for 4 years. You're not going to have, you know, this is a horrible example, but you're not going to have someone like, you know, Raekwon Battle or, you know, Bob Huggins staying at one place for 4 years or however long their contracts are. You know, they're going to want better positions if they see it. And with the technology that we have nowadays and with everything that we have, it's possible. And you're going to see more and more of this, you know, in the coming years. And it's going to be extremely interesting to see.
Yeah, it's going to be really open because, as you said, with the transfer portal and NIL coming back into play, you know, all these guys, whether or not they're players or coaches, they can go almost anywhere and compete. It's just as simple as, you know, if you're a coach, how good are you at recruiting, or the school, you know, how much NIL money are you getting? Or, you know, for the players, you know, where do the players want to go? There's so many different factors that come into it that really makes this time of year for college basketball a very interesting time.
I mean, and this really doesn't just stay in college basketball. This is just all of college athletics.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, especially in football. I mean, yeah, I think the two biggest ones. Yeah. The two biggest ones are basketball and football. But I mean, you look at like college baseball, you know, that's as big, if not, you know, I wouldn't say bigger, but still it's as big as, yeah, you know, as baseball or football, or basketball and football.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff we could talk about within this, but, you know, hopefully we come back next week and maybe there's some more coaching carousel stuff to talk about. And hopefully, you know,
hopefully more holes.
Hopefully WVU has a coaching staff up here. Good. Great.
I mean, we've got time. I mean, we definitely do have time.
No, you don't. The transfer portal closes. You don't have time. You have 7 scholarship spots open. No, you don't have time.
Okay.
They have to get it rolling because, you know, all these head coaches that are getting hired, they're already working on their staffs. They're getting players in. But in terms of West Virginia, they haven't gotten their staff ready yet, and they're losing more and more players by the day. I mean, they've lost, you know, they've lost JoJo Harris, Kirk Creasa. They just lost Pat Sumnick now. They lost Seth Wilson as well.
Yeah.
They're losing a lot of guys.
Yep.
And they're going to have to bring in a lot more guys. You know, obviously with the transfer portal being more open now, that's not going to be as difficult. But you need to start bringing in guys or you're going to be in really bad shape.
Yeah. So at least there's one positive thing we can look at for this week. It's the Masters.
Oh,
Jim Nance. Jim Nance is going to open it up with
"Hello, friends."
Hello, friends. Is he doing it this year? Because he didn't do the tournament.
Well, no, I think he's still doing.
I think
he's
still doing the Masters. I think he's still doing.
It's a
Masters.
Tradition like no other.
What is this on my screen? Thank you.
What?
It's something just popped. Okay, so you know, "Hello, friends." See, look at this. What is this? Come on.
What even? What the? That's a very obnoxious ad. It's not even an ad. It's just a PNG of sound waves.
It's crazy. Jim
Justice.
it's been that kind of day. Jim Nance is going to open up with "Hello, friends." And then you're going to come in, you're going to see Eric Van Ruin tee it off at 8 a.m. with Jake Knapp. And then you're going to have an amateur with a couple other guys at 8:12. Danny Willett, Stefan Jager, and Austin Eckroat at 8:24. Luke List, Charles Switzer, and Christo Lamprecht. Now, let me tell you about this amateur here. Okay. He's from Georgia Tech. Okay. I need to go to his full player profile. He's 6'8", 220.
Oh, buddy, you're
eight,
in the wrong
two,
sport. The Lakers need you right now, bud.
Georgia Tech probably could have used him down in the paint this year. He's from South Africa. He's 23 years old. He's a right-hander. 6'8", 220.
Do we know what his vert is?
No idea.
Wingspan. We need these numbers now. Stat.
So this year, and I feel like we say this every single year, but this year is big for one guy in particular, and his name is Rory McIlroy. Okay?
It's oh, always yeah. big
now,
for
listen,
Rory.
Can I finish?
Yes, but yeah, go on.
So it's big for Rory McIlroy because not only one, he probably wants a PGA Tour guy to win, and he could only help himself out by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if he wins, he finishes the triple crown. Is that what it's called?
The Grand Slam.
Grand Slam. Triple crowns in horse racing.
Yep.
Why did I go triple crown?
I mean,
I am off today.
And there's four majors.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. it's the same difference in horse. I mean, it is the same in horse racing.
Do you know the three races in?
I don't. Kentucky Derby is one of them. I can tell you that.
one of them's in Baltimore, buddy.
Of course you know that.
Yeah. Kentucky Derby.
Did you know that?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Belmont Stakes are in Baltimore, Maryland.
I retract.
Okay, go on.
Okay. So Rory McIlroy, he's obviously going to try to win it and let the PGA Tour, you know, say that they're back on top, which they're not. That's a debate for another time. And then, you know, he can complete the Grand Slam. But not only that is, you know, he can be, again, one of the top in the world where he's kind of just been sluggish. He's going to be in a group with Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele. Those other two guys are going to be in the top of the leaderboard as well. There is something to keep an eye on, though, with Scottie Scheffler. His wife is currently expecting a baby, and he did say today during the par 3 contest, if his wife at any point, even if it's Sunday and he's got a chance to win, if his wife goes into labor, he's leaving. He said he's not staying. He's not missing that. He says he's leaving.
Good on him.
I mean, you got your priorities right, man.
No, he's
that's
got,
exactly
he's got
how it
his priorities
should be.
Straight. Also, I was wrong earlier. The Belmont Stakes is in New York. It's the Preakness Stakes that is in is in Baltimore.
All right.
I should have known that.
Okay,
anyways,
well, we're not
going
to talk about that.
Yeah, no. I wanted to
So there's a lot of things that, you know, that can go in for Rory McIlroy. A lot of eyes are going to be on him. Can he win it? Never won a Masters, obviously. Can he win it? He's going to be in there with Scottie Scheffler, who's got a chance to win yet again. Xander Schauffele, probably arguably one of the favorites as well. Then you're going to have guys like, you know, guys that are in there that are just in there because they've won it. Vijay Singh, Mike Weir. Those guys probably won't make the cut. Always love watching Vijay Singh, though.
I mean, Hideki's up there, too.
I'm talking about the older guys now. But Hideki's got a chance to put himself in contention to win as well. I think Bubba Watson is playing good golf right now on the LIV Tour. Tiger Woods, that's another guy to keep an eye on. Says he feels like he's playing some of his best golf right now, and I watched him on the range yesterday on the stream, and he's hitting the ball pretty well. The last time I saw him hit a ball like that was 2019 Masters when he made that little run towards Saturday, Sunday. Could it happen again? I would not count Tiger out because he just continues to amaze me every time. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he's too old. He withdraws from everything. The only one he's withdrew from this year was when he got the flu. Okay,
right.
That one's not, you know.
You can understand that.
Yeah, so I think you got to look at him. Jordan Spieth, might miss the cut. He's dealing with the left wrist injury that he had to have surgery on a couple years ago. Re-aggravated that injury, so that's something to keep an eye on as well with Jordan Spieth. I'm the guy that, you know, I love John Rahm. I think John Rahm's a great ambassador for the sport of golf, but I like seeing new guys win this.
Right.
So, you know, I'd like to see John Rahm win another one. I'd like to see Scottie Scheffler win another one. I wouldn't be mad about it. See, okay, that's another thing about Phil.
I'd love to see Phil Mickelson win.
Phil did it last year and made a little run on Sunday last year. So that's another guy to keep an eye on. And I think, you know, I don't know, just some of these guys are, you know, getting, the guys that we, you know, grew up watching are getting old. Zach Johnson, he's getting old. Sergio Garcia, he's getting old.
My dad hates Sergio Garcia.
But Sergio just went into a playoff on the LIV Tour in Miami, so he's playing some good golf right now. Tony Finau, I'd love to see him win one. I love Tony Finau. No, Tony Finau is still PGA.
Okay.
Ricky Fowler, that's a guy who's not won one yet that has been playing good golf as of recent. Last year had a little bit of stretch. He didn't win a major last year, did he? But he got really close.
He's not won a major ever.
But he's got close.
He's gotten really close.
He got close last year. I think another guy, though, to keep an eye on is Will Zalatoris. He's playing good golf, coming off of an injury last year. I don't think he played last year. Coming off of off of surgery, he's starting to play some good golf there. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on as well. Victor Hovland as well, another guy to keep an eye on. So there are some guys here, you know, to really keep an eye on because this, I mean, the Masters field every year is stacked, so I don't know why I was getting ready to say that, but like,
I mean,
hard to pick a winner.
The Masters is always stacked. Like that's the way they want it. And the Masters is a very, very, it's honestly really interesting of how they actually run it, where it's like their TV coverage is, there's like, if there is commercial breaks, it's very minimal, and they'll do like the playthrough, well, they'll do the split screen. It's always broadcasted. There's no phones allowed on the premises. There's pay phones for media only. And it is such an interesting operation that I would honestly find extremely interesting if they did a documentary about, you know, the way they do the flowers and how they bloom at the perfect time, and just everything about the Masters. It's so interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. And so there's a lot of guys in here that, you know, it'll be in Brooks Koepka. It's another guy that seems to be in the mix every year that just can't get it done. Now, if Bubba Watson can putt like his daughter did today, she knocked down back-to-back birdie putts for him in the par three today, and they weren't just tap-ins. They were pretty lengthy putts. If she, you know, can bring the putting stroke with him,
he might make a run.
Might make himself a little run for his third Masters. And Gary Woodland's son jumping up and down after making a putt. I'm watching it on my laptop, and he's jumping up and down after making his putt there for his dad. Now, that's another guy we ought to talk about is Gary Woodland. A lot of people don't know his story. I would love to see him win it solely on the fact of what happened in the fall. You don't know what happened to him in the fall, do you?
I remember the name. I don't remember the story exactly.
So back in the fall, he had brain surgery.
Yes.
Had a brain contusion and was waking up and, you know, was having these tremors and these like nightmares almost and just these different things. And so he, you know, was kept waking up with all these different problems. And so he decided to go get checked out. They, you know, said, you know, he needed to have surgery. And there were talks that he would never play golf again. And his first, I think he started playing golf again and played in the Genesis this year with Tiger Woods. He got a special invite to the Genesis, played with Tiger Woods, and played decently well. And so, you know, when you think about that, is the way that this game is it gives and it takes. And you're not always promised tomorrow, but this guy is taking every opportunity. He played here with his family today, had his whole family walking with him on the course today in the par three, and oh my, Brooks has got his son sitting behind him on the tee box.
Oh, no way.
Right behind him on the tee box as he swings. But back to what I was saying is, with Gary is, you know, he said he wasn't sure if he was ever going to play the Masters again. And now he's back, and rightfully so, probably. I think he, you know, could put himself in contention to win.
No, I think it definitely would be an extremely heartwarming tale if he goes on and, you know, has a little run for himself. And, you know, if he walks away with some with a new green jacket, now I think that would be like I think everybody would like that. And I think nobody would walk away feeling like, you know, they got robbed, or how I felt after the 2015 Masters when Jordan Spieth won his first and Rory would not have that Grand Slam, but we won't talk about that. But
yeah. All right. I know Nico doesn't really know much about golf, but he's going to have to talk here in a minute.
I think golf overall is a very captivating sport. Obviously, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Something that I'm not particularly interested in. I have played a couple times. I'm not good, but I try.
Hey, that's all right. Neither is Andy.
Hey, neither are you, buddy.
Excuse me.
How far can you drive?
Huh?
How far can you drive?
About 240.
I can drive maybe
230. More like 230. Probably.
Last time I drove a ball decently well, I sliced it into a tree.
That's okay. Just got to work.
Hey, I'm good with a pitching wedge though.
I beat Andy pretty lengthy when we went in the fall. So
nice. Were we even keeping score?
Yes, I beat you pretty lengthy.
What
it's like five or six strokes, dude.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it was pretty lengthy.
We need to go again.
We do need
to go. The three of us need to go.
Maybe we'll go soon. Maybe we can go. I can't go this weekend because I'm on the call.
Yeah, I'll be working those games with you, buddy.
We'll figure some out.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that there's, you know, I think when you look at it, it's a wide open field. So now let me ask you this. Give me your three guys that you think are going to be in contention.
For
the green jacket.
That is a good question. I think there's a lot of great choices here, and you really can't count anybody out. You were on about Tiger earlier. You can't count him out. Personally, you know, I like Tony Finau. I like Hideki Matsuyama. You know, just for the funnies, I'll throw in Ricky Fowler because I like him a lot. It's not really a serious pick, but
no, I think that's a pretty good pick. He's playing really good golf.
You kind of can't really pick anyone and have it be a bad pick.
No, that's exactly right.
Oh boy, I don't know much, but I'm going off of this list, and Roy McIlroy is a name that I like. Obviously, I you know, everyone had their like weird sports phase when they were younger. Mine was golf. I got PGA Tour 16, I believe, the video game.
Hey. Great game.
Rory McIlroy was on the cover. Love the guy. So I'm going to go him.
Not a bad one either.
Not a bad pick.
Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau.
I think DeChambeau, I think that dude, I got to see him last year in the LIV Tour in August. And that guy, the way that he swings the club is insane. You should see the size of the grips on his clubs.
Oh, they're ginormous.
I have watched him since he first started on the tour and then now to the LIV Tour. Watched him, and when he used to be skinny, like really skinny guy, just wasn't. And then once COVID happened, he kind of got into this slump before COVID of wasn't playing good golf, you know. So he decided to totally revamp the way he played the sport. He hit the gym during COVID, lifted weights, added on a ton of muscle, and came in and is now this big, lengthy guy that just grips it and rips it. And hits the ball probably the furthest out of anybody. Let me find.
He's got a very, hit the ball really far first and ask questions later.
I mean, if you're in the tee box and you hit it 300 yards, I mean.
But, I mean, not all holes are 300 yards.
Yeah, but say you're playing a par 5, 450. Well, you hit it 300 yards. You're in a great spot.
So this is how thick his grips are.
Man.
And that's not on the putt. Like, usually you see the bigger grips on the putters. That's on, like, his driver, his irons, and his wedges. That's on every club.
And all of his clubs are the same length, I believe.
Yes. Yes. And so this is him. Let me find his rookie year.
I would say the first time I ever saw Bryson DeChambeau was a Dude Perfect video.
Yeah. That's fair.
So his rookie year, this was him.
Wow.
This was him. Actually, this is more of a better picture, but still. So this was DeChambeau, right? So that's how small. And I know the people that are listening, you can't really tell.
Just look up the pictures between
dude, he got jacked.
And then this is him now.
He got jacked.
Yeah, no. somebody put a picture of him into MS Paint and just like stretched him.
And so, actually, this was at the Greenbrier. right here. Shot a 59 at the Greenbrier. I was there that morning. Rain came in. We were heading home that night. We decided to leave because we didn't want to ride in the car wet because we still had about 2 hours and 2.5 hours ahead of us. Did not want to ride in the car wet. And man, leaving is a little upsetting because he made history. Shot a 59.
What's par at the green?
72.
Man.
Jeez.
That's good. That's yeah. really good.
Made a surge and he won the thing. But he knows the Greenbrier very well. I mean, obviously, I watched him play there for years. This is him swinging. If you see the club, that is the driver. It's almost at a U shape, almost.
His front arm is always extremely straight.
Yeah.
It's almost entirely straight.
And so, and he said this week, he feels like he's hitting the ball off the driver the best he has. And if he can continue that, I think he can be in contention as well. I think I'm going to take DeChambeau for one of them. I'm going to take John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler. I'm going to take four, though, because with Scottie Scheffler, I don't know if he's going to have to withdraw. I'm going to take four just in case he's got to. And I think my other guy is going to have to be...
Have we mentioned Xander Schauffele?
That's my other guy. I was looking for him up here. I think Xander Schauffele is another guy that I'm going to look for because he's playing good golf as well. So I think those four guys within Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau. Oh, who's my other guy? Probably should have remembered that.
You probably should have because I don't.
I'll just go with those three.
Yeah.
But anyways, I this field is just so wide open.
It's, you know,
there's not much in. Someone just nearly got a hole in one.
Really?
Don't know who it was. I think it was Max Homa. It's another guy that could make a run. It's so hard to predict.
I mean, it's like, you know, you obviously have your bigger guys. You know, you have your Rory McIlroys, your Xander Schauffeles. You have, you know, the older guys, Tiger and Phil. You know, and if you want to throw Ricky in there as well, you know, you can. But you also have these younger guys, Victor Hovland, Cam Smith as well.
Yeah.
Who I believe is also on LIV. I could be wrong about that. But you know, like I said earlier, you really can't make a bad pick when it comes to a pick for the winner of this year's tournament. You really can.
Yeah. So Cameron Smith is he in the field though?
I mean, I'm seeing him here.
He is okay yeah. because he withdrew out of the LIV tournament this past weekend due to an illness. So I wasn't sure if he withdrew or not.
Well, I mean, I've got the Masters like website up here, and okay, it's got it's got Smith between.
I just don't see him on here. On ESPN.
He might have withdrew and
he's right here.
Oh, okay, I see.
I actually forgot about Cam Smith too. I'll throw his name in there too. So a lot of guys to keep an eye on to win this thing. I mean
it's so wide open you can't make a bad pick.
Oh no, not at all. So now let's take a shift here, Andy.
Okay.
We're gonna talk. Last 2 weeks ago, or two weeks or so ago, you and Griff were chatting it, you know, oh, the cap's this, cap's that. And then Griffin told me, he said, Penguins don't have a shot. Well, Penguins have gone on a little run as of recent. I think they've only lost one out of the last six, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Gone on a little run, has put themselves in contention to get a wild card spot. They are a point back from the Capitals, who won last night.
Thankfully.
So we need to, Penguins need to, I say we, Penguins got I mean, if they went out, that's going to guarantee them a spot.
Yes.
100%. But they can afford to lose a couple games.
The Capitals cannot.
The Capitals cannot because I think the Penguins have.
How many games left?
I think the Penguins have a tie. Because they were tied a few days ago and had the tiebreaker over them because they most recently beat them. So tomorrow the Penguins play the Red Wings in Pittsburgh.
Be a big game.
That one will determine a lot of stuff. The Islanders, though, now there's still a thing here I saw on Twitter. If the Islanders, when you look at the Metro, so they take three.
Mm-hmm.
Islanders are 3 points ahead. If the Islanders drop a game, Penguins can win a couple plus beat the Islanders, still have a game against the Islanders. They have a shot. Penguins can still win the Metro. So can the Capitals. But they're going to need some help as well. But also, if you're the Penguins and Capitals, you wouldn't mind, you know, you wouldn't mind the Islanders just clinching the third spot there in the Metro, because then, you know, you're that then that, because if they end up dropping, then that spot is going to go, you know what I mean? Like that spot's going to be taken by them, and, you know, they're at 87 points and Caps and Pens are 85 and 84. So you have a lot of things that could happen. There's a lot of movement that could happen. You're within, I think, what, a week left?
I believe so. The last time I checked, there's like about maybe seven games left, if I'm correct, for the Capitals, that is.
So here's the playoff watch right now. Is this today's clinching scenario?
This might be the 10th. Yeah.
Clinching scenarios today. The Golden Knights can clinch a playoff berth if they beat Edmonton in regulation and the St. Louis Blues lose to the Blackhawks in any fashion. Okay, that's pretty easy, to say the least. I don't know, because that Blues Blackhawks, that's a... In any fashion, though, like, I mean, you just
A loss is a loss.
Just need them to lose.
I mean
they could go into seven overtimes. You just need them to lose.
Right. Well, I mean,
no seven overtimes in hockey, but you get the gist.
There was a game, though, that I did watch that I think I went into.
The other day?
No, like during the bubble. There was like,
oh, yeah, during the bubble.
They played 2.5 games.
Dude, what an era, man. Capitals. Oh, see, I thought they won more. I thought they won by more. I was watching that game for a little bit, and then I saw Oshie score that second goal, and I turned it off. Thought it was over. Probably should have kept it on because it doesn't look like it was over. They're 2-1. But so those are some big games tonight. Obviously, Vegas and Edmonton on TNT. That one will be a game that, you know, could determine a lot of things. PK Subban said it was on one of the shows on ESPN. Said they were talking about the Penguins. You know, are they going to make it? And everybody on there said they're going to make the playoffs because they're the Penguins. Sidney Crosby is arguably playing some of the best hockey right now out of really anybody, if we're going to be completely honest here, just because, oh, God, he scored what? Let me see. It might say it up here. It won't say it up here. I saw the stat, and you might know. He's accredited with, like, so many points.
I know he's taken a huge spike in points recently.
It's like he's taken so many points, like, within the last, I don't know. I got to look.
I mean, like, I know Ovechkin has scored, he's, like, scored almost a goal a game for the past, like.
Well, and so is Crosby. Crosby's kind of done the same thing. They've both kind of put the team on their backs, and that's what the veterans got to do.
I mean, yeah. When you're in that position, I mean, you gotta show everybody who's boss, really. I mean, you bring it, turn the clock back, you know, 10 years and go back to the era of the Crosby and Ovechkin scoring 50 goals a game and leading the league in goals, and Mitch Marner. What's his face from the Maple Leafs? Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid were that's a sound. They definitely didn't hear that, but I swear there was a video playing and it startled me. But
it was the video of the ref getting decked.
Oh,
it
was by Fleury. I heard about
it
that.
It was by Fleury. See.
Oh,
he didn't even show him.
Were they pulling the goalie and he, like,
I think so.
Messed him up.
I think that's what happened.
Wait, Fleury?
That's what it said. No, Hayden Fleury.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because that's...
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I heard about that. They stretchered him off. That's insane. And honestly, they don't have replacement refs.
Mm-mm.
No, so they had to run with three refs the rest of the game.
Well, it was only the third. It'd be different if it was the first period. It was only the third period there.
I mean, yes, but still, the NHL does not have replacement refs. They had to run, like I said, with three refs the rest of the game.
So I think within their last nine games, they are 6-1-2, if I'm doing it right. They're fighting currently with Philadelphia has now taken a plummet. Did you see their score last night?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they took
a plummet. So they're kind of out of the conversation in a sense. But
the entire rest of the Metro would have to implode for them to be back in the conversation, I think.
So Crosby scored his 40th goal of the season in the Tampa Bay game. And they won that one 5-4. So that game's Saturday. 8 o'clock between the Bruins and the Pens.
That should be good.
Gonna be a big one. That one's in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, they have their schedules helping them out a lot. As of right now, it just, you know, it's with the games that they need to win, I think, are all at home.
And they're pretty winnable too.
Jarry has not played since the 22nd, I believe.
I mean, think of it. If you're Boston, you're not going to start your starters.
No.
You're already in.
Well, and if you look at it, well,
they've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, and so every game, I believe, yes. So the next three, so you got to beat Detroit tomorrow. Then you play Boston on Saturday. Then you play Nashville. That game won't really matter. Then you got to go to New York and play on Wednesday.
Against the Islanders.
Yeah. Now, that will be a game that will matter, obviously. But the next two games, if you can win those and get points, it's huge. But Jarry has not played since the 22nd. And actually, yeah. Jarry, they've lost a lot of games with him at goalie. This winning streak, one loss was to Columbus on a shootout, 4-3, with the backup goalie in. And then the last loss was in overtime with the backup goalie in. He's keeping him in these games.
I mean,
and that's a huge adjustment for the Pens because, I mean, Jarry probably should not come back.
I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's what I'm saying. You know, that's what they're writing.
I mean, if he's cooking, like, you know, why not? I mean, I know the Capitals did the same thing when they were in the playoffs in 2018.
Yeah.
You had Philip Grubauer in there for the first, you know, round or so. Holpe wasn't doing anything, really. And, you know, you bring in Philip Grubauer in that year, and, you know, he was cooking. And, you know, and then he sort of fell off, and then Holpe, you know, went the rest of the way. The Penguins are in the same spot. You know, if he's playing really good in net and basically is a brick wall in both body and mind, you know, honestly, I would question the decision of whoever pulls him and put Jarry in. I would honestly ask them promptly, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're messing with something that is working.
Yeah. No, 100%. And so that's what's going to be interesting is to see, you know, what happens between those. I mean, between, I think next week we can come in and talk about, we'll come back next Wednesday and we'll talk about, be the last day of the regular season. We will have some determine of if the Caps are eliminated, if the Pens are eliminated, which both teams going into it might not be eliminated. But if you're the Capitals, I think you hope the Penguins are because the Penguins right now, because you've now played, like, this week, the way that I was reading it yesterday is Caps obviously played yesterday. Pens have still got it. They haven't played till Thursday. So they're going to have – they got a game this week ahead of them. So in the point differential, but if the Pens win, that's going to shoot them up in points. And so if you're the Capitals, you got to hope they go on a little losing streak, and you got to keep winning if you're the Capitals. They haven't really done that as of recent, though.
See, it's
– they started out rough, too. They started out, what, 1-7?
Yeah,
one and seven.
The Capitals did not have a great start, and I honestly thought.
And as of recent, until yesterday,
they've really turned it on.
Now you told me they were on a downslide, but I didn't look at it, and
as of recently, they didn't win a game
since March 26th until yesterday.
Yeah, until last night. How many was it straight? It was, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think, is that 7 if that's correct? 7 loss straight, I believe. I can't really, you know, I don't want to, like, turn this monitor here, but I think that's 7. And the monitor.
Six.
Six? Okay.
Six.
I must have counted one twice. But still, like, until last night, like, I honestly thought that the Capitals weren't going to make it. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's sort of how I thought it was going to end. Because how we started, it was not great. And honestly, because of that, I really haven't been paying attention this much, as much this year. But as of recently, I'm like, okay, things have starting to get a little bit more interesting. But now it's like the Capitals are in a must-win situation. They have little to zero wiggle room.
They have no room to lose, because if they lose tomorrow against Buffalo,
it's basically over. It's basically over for them. And the
because you don't have because that game against Philadelphia you thought could help you, but Philadelphia after last night, man,
yeah,
they've also had a little bit of a downslide. I saw a U92 legend Sean Tansky tweet about it last night. Wow, they are really on a downside.
Yeah,
they haven't won a game since the 23rd of March.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They really haven't been doing too much either.
So they're out of it.
I believe so, yes.
I mean, not technically, not mathematically, hasn't been eliminated yet, but, well, actually not really.
I mean, how far are they back? 83
points.
You're
4 points back from the...
Yeah, I feel like right now in that...
Well, how many points is a win?
Two.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
How many points is a... And then it changes with a shootout win too, right?
So it's 2 points for a win and 1 point for an overtime loss.
That's what I thought. Oh, and 1 point for an overtime loss?
Yep.
Okay.
So if they lose in overtime or no, they're not
out of it.
Yeah.
And well, and even if you're if you really want to talk in the wild card spot, they're really not out of it.
No.
They're pretty much a win back.
No,
I should say.
What I was gonna say, in that like four or five team like landscape, there is little to no wiggle room for anybody.
Buffalo is probably out of it. Devils probably out of it. Poor Frank the Tank. Dude, Frank is... And poor Nico, he's sitting over here. He don't know nothing about hockey. Poor guy.
I love Puck.
I love Puck. We'll talk a little bit MLB here in a minute.
I'll just say the Rangers, man. The Rangers are great. Love the Rangers.
You gotta love Artemi Panarin, the bread man.
Rangers are on fire right now.
Yeah.
Shout out
to my dad for making me watch a little hockey.
Hey,
nothing
wrong about hockey, man. I just, I never really watched. Once we changed to YouTube TV, we don't really get those games back home. But, now that I'm up here, I can, listen to them at least on the radio. And now that they're on ESPN Plus, sometimes I can get them, but most of the time they're blacked out. But
or if you really want to watch the game, you can come over to my place
get it on Stream East.
I mean, I guess it's true, but still.
Love Stream East.
Yeah, really, really works.
Should we say that on air?
I don't care. I mean...
Hey, they're still running by now. Yeah. I mean...
But no, which, for some reason, they cut the whole Masters, off of the... I don't know. But a lot of teams are out of it, and sucks for Griff. The one day that we talk about NHL, he's not here, but sucks for him. Next week, we can come back and talk more about... We'll have more of a grasp of between the Pens and Caps who's got a shot to make the playoffs and who doesn't.
Right now, it's a lot of speculation and too many variables that could potentially happen. But I think when it comes to next week, it'll basically be as clear as glass.
Yeah. So when you're talking about the MLB, it just got started not too long ago. Yankees 10-2, got the best record in Major League Baseball right now. 10-2, 2.5 games in front of the Red Sox of Boston. Baltimore, 3 games back, just called up the number one prospect, Jackson Holliday. Should have been Paul Skeens as well, though. Paul Skeens needs called up for the Pirates, but hopefully that's soon. Speaking of the Pirates, they're 9-3 right now, playing some pretty good baseball.
It's early in the season.
Okay, but they're still playing good baseball right now. It's different than last year, because last year they obviously got out to that good start and then crashed. But it just seems like this team is different than last year, the way that they play. Last year, I feel like they just got some of those games because, their run differential right now is 19, plus 19.
Yeah, and I feel like for the Pirates, they brought a lot more veteran presence into the team.
Yeah.
For example, Rowdy Tellez at first base. He's not the best contact hitter, but, man, can that guy hit it out the park?
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And so the Pirates... I'm not going to be shocked if they, start losing games soon. But right now it feels good for them because they're 9-3. Yankees are Yankees. They're currently 10-2. I mean, hey, Guardians, 8-3. They might not need J.J. Weatherholt.
Hey, Steven Vogt, let me tell you right now. Best rookie manager in the league right now.
Oh, yeah?
Steven Kwan is on fire. He hit the gym. He somehow developed power. Jose Ramirez is still the GOAT. I'm gonna miss Shane Bieber. He messed up his UCL.
That's actually leads me to literally what I was going to talk about next.
Yeah, there have been a lot of pitcher injuries.
There's been a lot of pitching injuries. I don't know, Andy, if you've seen all of this on social media. There's been about 5 or 6 pitchers that are already out for the year
already
with UCL injuries.
Like, how far are we in the season?
A week, maybe
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And how many? He said
four or five.
Pitchers
or six.
Are dropping like flies.
They're dropping
right
like flies. And here's what I think is that reason for it. I think that the pitch clock, because pitchers don't have time to collect themselves, take a break, take a breather. They throw the pitch, get the ball back, 20 seconds, they got to throw the ball again. Like the arm, they're putting so much pressure.
Like, you got to give them like a 5 to 10 minute, like, just chill for a second.
Well, I wouldn't say five to 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm saying like seconds. Oh. Like, give them 5 seconds as soon as they catch the ball. Like, add another five seconds on. Let them collect themselves.
I would give them
maybe 45 seconds.
No. Give them like 30, 35 seconds.
I mean, I was saying 45 to be generous.
It's at like 20 seconds right now. That is not nearly enough time.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
The baseball games are going quicker. They accomplish their goal. But
now
people are getting
pitchers
hurt.
Pitchers are tearing their UCLs like
now,
it's nothing.
Now, if we ask Derek Clark for the Mountaineers that question, he's going to be like, well, it works for me.
And he's cooking.
He's thrown 3 straight complete games. But
the guy's got an arm of steel.
Yeah. But like some of these pitchers, I mean, they're dropping like flies. And so, I mean, it's just a matter of time. They're going to have to change it. I never was a fan of the pitch clock because people love the pace of baseball. You can sit outside and enjoy a game, and it takes 4 or 5 hours. And now you show up, and the game's done in almost 2 hours sometimes. I mean, when a guy's pitching a no-hitter, the game's going to be done in 2 hours. Like, so, you know, you got a lot of... I mean, I get it. You wanted to speed up the game because then you can get whatever, TV. It's always about TV. But, like, at some point, player safety's got to come first. And these guys dropping like flies, tearing their UCLs. I mean, it's a lengthy process to get back into the game.
And it's not just Shane Bieber. You know, Spencer Strider's dealing with injuries. Yuri Perez, Trevor Gott, Jonathan Loaisiga, Framber Valdez, just to name a couple. I mean, there are so many guys right now that are dealing with injuries. This isn't even a pitcher, but right now, the White Sox placed Yoan Moncada on IL with a left adductor strain. He'll miss 3 to 6 months.
Like, and players are dropping like flies everywhere.
It's got to be a red flag to MLB, right?
And you got like they.
You'd think, but it's not.
They accomplish your goal of slowing or of making the game more fast paced, but now the cost is you're losing all these players.
Yeah,
you're gonna have like 20-something-year-olds get called up. Like, guys that aren't ready for the show, and you're like, it's going to ruin so many. It's going to ruin their potential. It's going to ruin their development. And then, as well, you got to think about contract years. I mean, a lot of these young guys, they keep them in the minors a little bit. They bring them up. They have what? 2 years of renewable contracts, 3 years of arbitration. They have 5 years control on the guy. Now you have to bring him up early. You don't have nearly as much control on him. He'll free agency like he's 25.
Yep. I totally agree. I think that. There's just a lot of stuff within the sport that has got to be changed. Like, I mean, I don't know. But I think that you got to start, I don't know. It's really hard to talk about it because we don't know what's really causing these pitchers, but I think pitch clock is a main reason.
It could also be the balls. You know, I remember a couple years ago they were talking about how the balls seem a lot more slicker and they can't get as much of a grip. And that's why a lot of people are using the foreign substances to get a better grip on the ball. If you have slick baseballs, yes, it's going to help hitting. And obviously the league wants, you know, 10 home runs a game, whatever.
Yeah.
But then who's throwing the pitches? You're going to have double-A guys in the majors soon.
Yeah, and when the ball's wet, sometimes I know like in softball, the type of balls that you use, like the way they grip it can hurt as well, can result in an injury. And so... There's a lot of stuff, and let's not forget the uniform dispute right now.
Oh, don't even get
guy
started.
Guy slid in to home plate yesterday for the Tigers against the Pirates and ripped his whole pant. I mean, the whole leg.
Oh, really?
Like, the uniforms. There's just a lot of stuff within the MLB that has got to change, and obviously, I mean, we can't really talk about games going right now because, I mean, we're like 13 games into the season, but like, there's... pitchers dropping like flies. The Oakland Athletics in itself is a whole mess. They're moving to Sacramento. Have already, you know, copyrighted and have already claimed the name of the Sacramento A's, is it? The Sacramento Athletics?
I think it's the Sacramento
I think they're keeping the Athletics.
Yeah. And, you know, Quinn, another thing about those pitching injuries, I saw this video. This guy was talking about how, you know, they're not always throwing the correct form, and how back in, like, the 90s, you know, Mark Pryor, he came up with, like, a new kind of pitching form, but it puts a lot more strain on that specific muscle, the UCL, as to where now, like, if guys, you know, pitch how they should, it doesn't put nearly as much strain on their elbow. But and you, when you pitch it that certain way, you get, obviously, you get more speed, but that comes at the risk of you completely tearing your arm in half almost. Yeah. So it comes down to, are you willing to sacrifice your health just to get an extra couple miles per hour on your fastball? Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all we can talk about. There's a little bit of baseball going on right now. Phillies, Cardinals playing right now. 4-3 lead for the Phillies. But WVU baseball's got a big series tonight against the Thundering Herd of Marshall. They'll probably absolutely annihilate them tonight.
It's a one-gamer today, right?
Yeah. And then they're coming back, and they're going to play the Golden Knights of UCF. I'll be on the call with that one with the good old Alex Silverman. Nico will be on pre-F and post for a little bit of that.
I'll be on the Friday and Sunday games.
They probably aren't playing Friday.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Some scheduling
might
conflict.
Might have a doubleheader come Saturday.
Yeah.
18 straight innings of baseball, or WVU baseball, rather.
Yeah, you can catch it on U92. I'll be on play-by-play Saturday for the Saturday game, and if it's a doubleheader, it'll be game two on Saturday. And then there will be some more exciting things happening within the station with WV Baseball as of recent. And then West Virginia Black Bears. Tune in to U92 all summer long. Hear my beautiful voice on giving you the West Virginia Black Bears. Actually, not only U92 the Moose, MILB TV.
Really?
Oh, look at you
streaming
go.
The games.
Look at you go,
I'll be the play-by-play. And talk about Wyndham Clark nearly getting a hole-in-one.
You're going to a big leagues, man.
I am, man. I'm getting up there. You can hear all of that. And then the draft show is coming up very, very soon for U92. That'll be huge. Next week we can come in and do that. We probably won't. I would love to do a pre-draft podcast, but like...
Isn't that like...
We have to see how it all works out, because I'm going to have to prep.
We can always do a mock draft.
It's we're going to have to see, because I mean, there's just going to have to be so much prep that goes in. And on top of that... All of, like, my video editing assignment is due. So, like, we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that.
Very busy man you are, Quinn.
A very busy man. Education comes first down here for this guy.
Academic weapon.
Academic weapon is what they call me down here in the...
In the boonies.
Might be a bit of a stretch.
This is the boonies, buddy. I can take you to the boonies.
Oh, jeez.
Take you up to Cleveland.
I can take you all to Baltimore. How about that, huh?
That's
worse.
I'll be good. Yeah, that's worse. So, we'll see how this goes. But, you know, obviously, John Calipari heading to Arkansas. What they say in Arkansas? They say woo pig or something like that?
Something like that.
Isn't that woo pig? Isn't that what they say? Woo pig, John Calipari?
I don't know.
I saw a tweet, though. He, you know, is officially arrived in Fayetteville, and the press conference for him is tonight. And he walks into the arena, and someone says, head hog, John Calipari, walking in to...
Head hog?
Yeah.
In, like, head coach? Or is that...
Yeah,
is that like,
that's what
okay.
they mean by head... They mean head coach, but head hog.
Oh, geez.
That's pretty good, too. I'm going to check my Twitter one last time, make sure we don't have, you know...
F1's taking a bit of a break this week. They're going to be in China in 2 weeks.
Quinn Roby, shocked with some news.
Steelers just signed a kicker.
Who is it?
Didn't think we needed another kicker, but I guess give Chris Boswell a break in the preseason, I guess. Matthew Wright.
Oh, he's bona fide backup. He's practice squad.
Yeah.
That's depth. That's just straight depth.
Depth.
That's depth.
Oh. Yeah. He's been in and out with the Steelers as well. So that was weird. Didn't expect that one. Masters this weekend. I'll be tuning in all day tomorrow if they play. But I'll be tuning in tomorrow. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. We'll be beautiful. Making a...
Hopefully Chuck Scatterday won't be upset when I tune in.
There's an NFL thing. How about the week one in Brazil?
Really?
There is week
Eagles
one in Brazil.
Packers.
Eagles, it should be Eagles-Steelers, but that's just my opinion.
I would like to... would I like to be the Browns? Not really. But hey, it's gonna be a good game.
Please come to Brazil.
Hey, Brazil, I feel like Brazil's a very nice country. In some places.
Okay, I'll take that.
Rio de Janeiro.
Fair. Okay.
Great tourist spot.
Great, phenomenal tourist spot.
Yeah.
Good movie too.
You know what's not a good tourist spot? Baltimore.
You know what?
Well,
we forgot the biggest thing that happened this week.
What was that? What did we forget?
The national championships.
Oh, yeah.
So
how about them Huskies?
Yeah, how about I can't believe we talked about Dan Hurley winning or being in conversation with the in conversation with Kentucky possibly. But then we didn't mention that he's got back-to-back national championships.
I mentioned it earlier.
But, like, why did we not, like, gosh, I didn't catch that, and why did it not segue me in? I'm really upset by that because we're at, I don't know. But anyways, with West Virginia,
yeah.
With UConn, not surprisingly won. And I'm a little upset that it was as much of a blowout as it was because I love a close game. But that's why we were rewarded to a treat when it came to the women's side of things. Caitlin Clark got taken down by South Carolina, but South Carolina, one of the best teams I've ever seen in women's sports. And so that'll be, you know, her story is going to be interesting. I think the draft for her is in a week.
That should be interesting.
I'm almost certain. I looked at this earlier. The Indiana Fever are going to have, like, 30 times as many nationally 30, televised games.
32 yep. nationally televised
compared
games.
Compared to one they had this year. They haven't even drafted Caitlin Clark yet.
Big, what a heck of a pick if they didn't. If they were like,
the number one
first pick Angel in the WNBA Reese. Draft for the Indiana Fever, it's Angel
Paige.
Reese.
Angel
Dude, could you imagine?
Paige Beckers.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be really funny.
They're going to pick Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be dumb not to. No.
They have to.
You have to.
Someone nearly got a hole in one again. But UConn, obviously, they're UConn. I'm not surprised there at all. Dominant, as always. They're probably going to be dominant just as much again. They're going to go for a three-peat next year.
And has that ever happened?
No.
Time to
that
make
was
history.
The first, that was the first time, I think, since Florida in the 90s had won back-to-back.
Those Gators?
Huh?
Those Gators?
Yeah, actually, it might have been Billy Donovan.
Mmm. Well, look at that.
It might have been Billy Donovan.
He's
always a West Virginia connection, huh?
Is that a West Virginia connection?
He's yeah, Marshall.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
We talked about that one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's going to, or right now, Quinn is furiously typing on the main monitor here. We're going to have live coverage of Quinn's.
I don't think it.
He's getting his
it was out. Billy Donovan.
There
hey.
You go.
Yep. 2005. Or it was 06. To O's, like in that year. So it was Billy Donovan. I told you, see? I know what I'm talking about. I know ball.
Yeah.
I know ball.
I was like 2 years old when he won his last natty.
Oh, yeah. You were, weren't you?
Yeah. I'm a young 2005.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not that young, all right?
No, it's
like,
just.
I am, but I'm not that
young. It's like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's like people were born after my year. It's like,
yeah, you're
geez.
Talking to a Zoomer, buddy. You're talking to a Zoomer.
Oh, jeez.
talking to a Zoomer. so national championships, just a touch base on that a little bit. But again, next week we'll be able to come back, talk a little more ball, you know.
Love talking ball.
You know, we can talk about who won the Masters. We'll have more Masters talk next week.
That is true. That is true. We'll have a little bit more Masters. We'll have a little bit more NHL. We'll have ball, puck, and small white ball.
I'll study up on my small white ball.
Jeez. So, yeah, we'll
be able
to talk more about that. Well, that's good for you because I might go to Chipotle.
Oh, really? I might join you.
I don't know. I'm not too hungry, though. But,
Nico, you want to come?
Maybe.
I might just go later.
Yeah, maybe tonight. Maybe tonight.
I'm hungry like now, though.
But, yeah. Anyways, so you've been listening to this is episode 40, man. That's crazy.
The big 4-0.
We are now on U92 The Moose's website, iHeartRadio.
I applied for a job there, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know what streaming services we're on because Nick signed us up for a whole bunch. So we're on iHeartRadio, definitely on Apple Music because.
Or Apple Podcasts, rather.
Apple Podcasts, yeah.
We've
yeah.
been on there.
Good catch.
I don't know. I think Spotify is still.
It should be Spotify. Uploaded. Spotify, I think, is the main one.
Well, hey, we're back.
Because I hadn't uploaded on Spotify in weeks.
We
man.
Are so back.
Actually, months.
Really?
months.
No. Nico, did you see the what was the email from the other day? It was like from like Mountaineer Sports or something like that. It was like something with that.
Yeah.
But like you just saw like it was like this really pretty like
yeah. It hasn't
thing.
Been uploaded. episode 22.
Jeez, man.
That was a year ago.
I wasn't even.
That's
here.
The old one. There's two PRT boys.
But
the Mountaineer Sports Network email?
Yeah, no. And then, like, you have, like, everything. It looks nice, and you just see our logo just, like, on the left or on the left side. Oh, it was glorious. It was absolutely glorious.
When was that email? Was it the 5th?
This week.
Yesterday.
We can talk about that later. But on a whole bunch of...
I was on the email.
Yeah. We are on a whole bunch of different podcasting websites.
We're making it big. We're making it big here.
Making it big. I'm trying to see. It won't tell me what.
Oh, look, I found you guys. It was yesterday.
Yeah. No, there it is. Isn't that beautiful?
Look at us.
Okay, so we are on Spotify.
Oh, I'm on there too. Look at all of us.
Yeah.
Look at all of us go, man. I'm so proud.
We are on Spotify.
Yes. So
we are on Spotify, back. Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Pocket Cast, Player FM, didn't even know that was a thing. Deezer, didn't even know that was a thing. iHeartRadio as well. There's a couple of other things that we are also on. So you can tune us on there. And then you can tune us in to on United to the Moose's website. You can hear our voices pretty much, I guess, the rest of the semester and then hear my voice all summer long. But we'll figure out something for summer. It'll probably be me.
Probably you and Nico.
Nico's going back home, so it'll probably be me doing some one-man stuff.
I can call in.
We could do some Zoom calls as well. I can strip the audio from that. Might get Joey Bray on a couple of episodes.
Love Joey Bray.
Of the PRT Boys podcast to fill in a couple of times, because we can talk about some summer sports and stuff like that. But again, you've been listening to episode 40. I believe it's episode 40, right?
Yes.
Episode 40.
Episode 40 of the PRT Boys podcast right here on U92, The Moose.